Conversations from Oshkosh, a potpourri of chats with newsmakers at AirVenture. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us. Our normal Monday feature with Bob Miller is taking the day off today, so we can bring you continuing coverage of EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. The event ended yesterday, but we recorded conversations with several newsmakers last week, and these are interviews you haven't heard yet. None are long enough to be Aerocasts on their own, so we're bringing you three of them today. First, with prices for the popular Rotax 900 series four-stroke engines skyrocketing, both home builders and LSA manufacturers are on the lookout for viable alternatives. Among the new designs creating anticipation are the Gemini Diesel from Power Plant Developments and the Rotomax single and twin rotor rotary engines. Both these companies had crowds at their displays all week long, but I was able to snag a few minutes with both. Tim Archer is the president of Power Plant Developments, a British company bringing the Gemini Diesel to production. This engine is a miniaturized version of the Junkers Yumo diesel first built in the 1930s. It uses dual crankshafts to drive six pistons toward each other in three cylinders in a two-stroke compression ignition design which eliminates valves, cylinder heads, and the entire ignition system. Tim, let me ask you why this idea has been around so long and no one else has packaged it yet other than you guys.
Well, actually, I don't know the answer to that. It is something that I think everybody had looked at as higher horsepower only, and they visualized the Junkers Yumo as being a high horsepower engine, whether it was in aircraft or in submarines or in locomotives. And it wasn't until Michael Daniel, who is the chief engineer with our company, that he looked at it and said, I can miniaturize this and put it in aircraft.
Well, to have a two-stroke diesel with a specific fuel consumption of 0.38 pounds per horsepower hour, you guys have obviously done something right. I see a lot of other alternatives to the Rotax empire being proposed that don't come anywhere near that kind of fuel economy.
Exactly, and that comes from the fact that it is a compression ignition engine or a diesel engine, and that gives us the better fuel consumption numbers and allows us to go in. 0.38 is actually on the high side for a diesel engine, but it's because it's a two-stroke. As we go up in horsepower, we actually get a lot better.
Now, you have some testing coming up in actual aircraft in a relatively structured program. Tell us about that.
Yes, we signed an agreement just this past week with Tecnam Aircraft out of Italy, and Tecnam is taking our Gemini 100 engine and they're putting it into the P-92 Eaglet, which is their LSA aircraft. They're going to do flight tests and evaluation tests to look and see what other aircraft they build that they would like to put this engine in and then take it to the market. They are also putting the Gemini 125, the first part of next year, into their P-2006T, which is their small twin aircraft that's going to be a certified airplane, and as we go into Part 33 certification for the 125 engine.
I have a good friend who is on your position list. What should I tell him when I get back home?
We actually have taken a few deposits on engines up front, and we'll start delivering those in December as it goes through. We're out. We had to push out about 6 to 8 months from our original projections, and we expect to be in production in the April-May timeframe, where we'll start limited production, then full production about 3 months later.
Are you anticipating ASTM certification and all that sort of thing for use in light sport aircraft in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. We're going for the 100 horsepower will be ASTM certification, and we anticipate trying to get that in parallel with the limited production in April-May.
How are you set up for quantity? Are you going to be able to produce these things in the numbers that it looks from the crowd at your booth here you're going to encounter in terms of orders?
Yeah, our U.K. facility, which we have the capacity there to grow to 1,400 engines a year. And all. We don't plan on necessarily having the UK facility do all of our production. We'll be building a facility here in the U.S. We're looking for a location now, and we'll set up capacity to do 2,400 engines per ship.
It's a very tidy-looking package, and we wish you all the best of luck, and thanks for bringing this to market.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the Gemini Diesel at www.ppdgemini.com. After I talked with Tim, I visited Eric Barger, president of Rotomax, Eric is bringing an aviation Wankel engine to market in single and twin rotor form in configurations that use CARBs or EFI and are normally aspirated or turbocharged. Last year, Rotomax had only carbureted engines available and had not yet settled on a reduction drive for the package. This year, parked right out in front of his tent, was a Sparrowhawk gyroplane equipped with a twin-rotor EFI turbo. Well, Eric, since we saw you here last year, it looks like the company's made quite a bit of progress. I see the Sparrowhawk sitting here with a twin-rotor turbo on it. How's it running? How's things going for the company?
Very satisfied with the Sparrowhawk running with the turbo. That was the final piece that we needed that we felt for aviation was our single, our twin, and then our turbocharged twin that we have on the Sparrowhawk. We've been real busy since last year. Six or seven different aircraft now have different versions of our engine. We've completed our fuel injection testing, so fuel injection's now available. Have our new PSRU units that are integrated right to the engine. So a lot of work in refining what we got as feedback from last year and throughout this year from customers and potential customers.
All right, let me ask you briefly about ASTM and fuel injection. Everywhere I look, I see a sea of Rotax, but more than that, I see a sea of carburetors. Where does fuel injection stand on the ASTM approval process timeline?
Right now, there was initially supposed to be a ruling in September defining what exactly redundant engine controllers meant. The position of the manufacturers is that redundancy can be built into one engine controller. We stand in that same category, and we believe that fuel injection is a better engine for ASTM and for aviation as a whole. So we hope later this year we'll be able to deliver fuel injection that would be ASTM approved reliably and affordable. And I think that's important because some of the whole reason for light sport aircraft was to be providing a cost-effective means of aviation. And we believe that fuel injection is the way to do that very reliably and gives the a pilot, as we were talking earlier, the ability to just fly the airplane and not worry about, you know, mixtures or other things like that. So we think it's a good, reliable, and a good, easy way for a pilot to fly an airplane. So hopefully this year we'll have that ruling and then we could start delivering an ASTM fuel injection Rotomax engine.
Now every morning at your air conditioned tent over here, you're doing an 11 o'clock seminar that involves building at least the core of a Rotomax rotary engine. I'm being told that doesn't take more than just a few minutes.
It doesn't, and you know what we found out? We started doing this at Sun and Fun and some forums down there, and it really let people come up and get comfortable with the engine and the working of it and the simplicity of it. So I encourage anybody to come over to Rotomax booth here at Building D, 11 o'clock every day. We're going to be doing a forum that talks about the company, a hands-on build of a short block engine to show how simple this is, and start getting people more familiar with this this Rotomax technology that we're delivering for aviation.
You can get more details on these engines at www.rotamax.net. In a moment, Jim Campbell talks with the first fleet customer for the new Cirrus Vision SJ50 light jet when Conversations from Oshkosh continues. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Next, among our conversations from Oshkosh, Jim Campbell talked to Steve Hanvey, president and CEO of SatsAir, about the announcement Wednesday that his company would be the first fleet customer for the Cirrus SJ50 Vision light jet. Up to this point, SatsAir has conducted its air taxi service using Cirrus SR22 piston singles.
Steve, I understand you're going to get the Vision.
We're getting it, thanks to Alan and Dale.
let's face it, SATS Air has been a phenomenon within general aviation. Nobody thought that there was let's be honest. The conventional thinkers would never have thought that a single-engine air taxi operation, full IFR, so forth, had a chance in hell of working. Not only is it working, but you're expanding. Talk about the SATS Air model, and then talk about how you go from piston to jet.
Okay, the SATS Air model is single-engine, single-pilot with a parachute. We're flying in the southeast right now with a network of airplanes, where our customers basically share the airplanes all over the 9 southeastern states. It's working because people like the airplane. It's comfortable, the technology in it, the speed, and the value point. And that's probably the important point here relative to the Vision Jet, is when you have a price point that is not that far away from driving, it becomes an alternative that had never been considered by those that weren't in aviation before. And what the Vision Jet for us represents is our customers that have started changing the way they do their business. They're expanding how far they travel in the southeast. They want to continue the experiment or experience and experiment to some extent.
So once they got a taste, they want more.
Absolutely. We had a customer last week that flew 10 hours in less than a week. We had a customer, first-time customer, bought 20 hours expecting it to last him 6 months. He flew it in 1 month.
Holy smokes.
This is when people are seeing what it does for their business, and some, to a certain extent, we're seeing more and more pleasure flying now.
That's an amazing model.
Thank you. But the customers are the ones helping us structure how we do it. And they're asking me, are you going to have a jet? Well, the other jets, while are great for general aviation, for our particular model with the single engine, single pilot, this fits for us. And we believe cost-wise, this is the way we can fit it, but for a longer distance and more capacity on the inside.
One of the secret charms of SATS Air is the fact that you're using little airports in middle America, that you're using airports that mom and pop out in Hoboken would use rather than big airports with all the complexities, all the expenses, and let's not go into all those baggage fees. It's a concept that literally breeds an interest, a trust, and eventually a fascination, if not a passion for general aviation. In some ways, it's possible that you may be some of our best goodwill ambassadors. Can you talk about how that is working right now in regards to your outreach to your customers?
Well, I think it's the airports themselves. Initially, the airports were kind of, who are these guys? They're going to take my charter business away. Instead, we become complimentary. We're buying gas. We're bringing business into the community. And we're providing for pleasure destinations, people the ability to use that airport that never used it before. We've talked to people that didn't know where the airport was. They had never in their life lived in a city where they knew where the airport was. And that's what we're doing, is expanding their knowledge of how do you use aviation. And in the past, it's been the bigger aviation companies or the larger corporations that had charter companies. Well, now we're bringing that down another several levels to where people can use it in a small entrepreneurial base that couldn't afford a charter. There's not commercial transportation available for them, or some of the hassles, and driving just takes them a whole day. And they'll do with us a morning trip out and back that they had to stay overnight to do a two-hour meeting. That's the real change that the communities are seeing, because now I can do business out of that small community that I never did it before. Instead of going to a big place like Atlanta, maybe I can go to the smaller city in southern South Carolina, in the south part of South Carolina, where some of the jobs are not there anymore, but you have a connection in transportation that you didn't have before.
And finally, how will you implement the jet? You've got a great, solid piston model. Jet operations are something entirely different, even a simple one like the Vision SJ50. How is that going to work when you make the jump from piston to, quote-unquote, light-speed jets?
Well, Jim, I guess I don't think of it as a jump. I think of it as very complimentary. As Alan has said earlier today, that the interior, the approach, the design philosophy is very similar to what we're operating. When we take off today in the piston, we have a single power lever, which is just like a jet. We climb to altitude on an autopilot, and we follow the avionics today that are so modern. They're virtually the same. You just climb faster, you go a little further, and you use a little bit different part of the altitude spectrum. For our customers, it's a quiet ride, it's a comfortable ride, and we don't expect that to change. So it's really our interaction with the FAA that'll be the growth. We have to do proving runs with the jet to show our ability to maintain it and operate it, and our training for it. We've done that in our past company when we operated jets before we went to all exclusively SR-22s.
Steve, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with the Vision SJ-50, and you got to promise me a ride.
You bet. Anytime, Jim. Thanks.
You can find out more at www.satsair.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.